For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again, the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with the greater honor, and our less respectable members are treated with greater respect, whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now, if you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then deeds, gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
So for any of you thinking of signing up to be liturgist, know that Al just already conquered the longest lection of the year. So from here on out, it gets easier. Thank you, Al, for your wonderful reading this morning. Would you all join me in a moment of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts spark joy and be good and pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our curator. Amen. Happy Congregation Reorganization Day! I like to think of annual meeting as the day when we decide every year to be congregation again. Since we all already know a lot about being church, today I want to borrow from a couple of other industries to help us better understand our own commitment to being body of Christ together and what that means from Al's reading. Now, I want to begin by telling you all that I am what I call a conference escape artist. Do any of you know what I'm talking about? Whenever I get the schedule for a conference I'm going to, whether it be housing or otherwise, I always look for those little gaps in the schedule. The optional evening plenary or maybe a free lunch. And I do this for a very specific reason. I need to find the time in the schedule to visit the local art museums. As a matter of ethics of travel, I refuse to go to a new city and see nothing but the inside of a hotel conference room. Well, I always attend all of the meat and potatoes of a conference gathering, and the reason for being there, I want to find the time in the schedule to allow me to visit what I consider to be the most sacred space, the giant chapels of any community, typically their art museums. Think about this with me. When Detroit was bankrupt a couple of years ago, the citizens of that great city refused to talk about the liquidation of the Detroit Institute of Art. Denver is renovating its historic art museum to communicate the importance it places on art to the world. The Walker, or the MIA in Minneapolis, the High Museum in Atlanta, the Nelson Atkins in Kansas City, even saying its name gives me goosebumps. It's amazing. LACMA or the Getty in Los Angeles, the Met in New York, the Art Institute of Chicago. All of these are sacred spaces, chapels, if you will, in their different communities. I learn important lessons about God and ministry and how to do the work well from art museums and galleries. Now, if you work with me on one of the boards that I supervise, you already know this analogy because I love nurturing it and repeating it ad nauseum. But I want to mention it to the whole congregation this Sunday for our annual meeting. I view being a minister like being a curator of a prominent art gallery in the community. Or in my case, one of the assistant curators responsible for certain rotating exhibits. Curation is defined as the act or the process of selecting, organizing, and looking after the items in a collection. I understand you all, the members of the church, as the artists. You are the artists working within the medium of the Holy Spirit, expressing God's will for community here at Plymouth and Fort Collins and around the world. You all are the Holy Spirit artists, painting and sculpting with every color and medium imaginable to form a great oeuvre together, a body of work we call the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ forming, composing, if you will, spiritual artwork. And today, annual meeting, is our gallery grand opening for the year of activism, community engagement, and learning, the spectrum of colors and shapes. As a minister, it is my role to curate, to organize, to promote, to systematize, to find just the right lighting or funding or arrangement to showcase your Holy Spirit artwork, visible and known and possible. Yes, the best analogy I've come up with for modern ministry is the art of community curation. Hi, I'm Jake. I'm one of the associate curators at the Plymouth Gallery of Spiritual Art. Describing my job to myself as spiritual curation changes how I relate to you and your vision. Being clergy in terms of curation has given my escapes or visits to art museums around the country a new theological purpose. It begs me to ask these questions. What are the best or promising practices out there in the curation industry that could lend themselves to the church? In the organizing and tidying world, that we need to pay attention to as we care for the body of Christ and to help make it more visible and even understood. Curation's a lot about translation, isn't it, in 2019. How can we as church do a better job of making the artwork of the Spirit visible, known, well-lit, and preserved? How can we better curate your incredible Spirit-driven artwork as a congregation? Our scripture today, in my opinion, is Paul's way of telling the Christians in Corinth that all of their gifts, their different styles and skills of spiritual craftsmanship are welcome, needed, and positively contribute to the masterpiece collection of Christ. A good art museum, as I have learned, is a well-diversified collection, right? The Christians in Corinth had been fighting about who was the greatest artist and who had the most important gifts for Christian ministry. Is it the Egyptology collection, the Impressionists, the Expressionists? Certainly not the Surrealists. Friends, they were fighting over which ministry teams had the first right of refusal for the Corinthian Fellowship Hall. Whose artwork of the Spirit should be exhibited most prominently? Paul comes back to them with this magnificent letter that has set the tone for church for the last 2,000 years. All are needed and, in fact, essential. It is one body of work, the body of Jesus Christ. The collection of ministry, like the Detroit Institute of Art, is indivisible and of a sacred whole as a composition. Just as the body is one and has many members, so it is with the body of Christ. One scholar put it this way: the well-known analogy between the human body and the body politic of Paul illustrates his argument for the diversity of the Spirit's manifestations for the common good. The argument opposes the honor values of hierarchical, aristocratic, Greek, and imperial Roman culture in insisting on the solidarity of the interdependent and equally valued members. Just because you have a great collection of antiquities doesn't mean you can get away without having the postmodern expressionists as well, right? Paul is a curator of the Spirit and a living art of Christian community. And this act of treating power, leadership, and authority of community with a sense of equality is something that we continue and treasure in the United Church of Christ. And it is as radical today and countercultural as it was in Paul's time, friends. As one of your ministry curators and organizers, I'd like to point out that today is a very special day in the body of Christ. Today we gather to decide to contribute our own work to this art gallery of the Spirit again in 2019. Today we agree as a congregation to do the whole thing over again for the 116th time for 2019. This is our recommitment ceremony veiled in Robert's Rules of Order. This is the Sunday when we do more than pass budgets and, much to our former Presbyterian joy, use Robert's Rules, but we affirm our desire to be artistic again together, a body of Christ, to invest in this year-long art show of the Spirit. You are a gathering of Spirit artists together, and I am honored to be one of your curators. Today we claim the calling of Paul on the Corinthian community as our own community in diversity. We say yes again to being congregation for another year. So as we reorganize again as a living art gallery of spiritual art, I would like to draw your attention to a pop culture worldwide phenomenon on the topic of curation and organization, Japanese organizing expert Marie Kondo. How many of you know who Marie Kondo is already? How many of you want to find out now that I've mentioned it? Hopefully everyone. Great. Marie Kondo has become my very favorite theologian over the past couple of months. And I really do believe she is a modern-day theologian. I've been reading her book these past couple of weeks, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing. First with her books and now with a Netflix series, Marie Kondo is changing how communities and places put value on things and learn again to treasure what matters. I believe that Paul and Jesus would approve. The KonMari method, as she calls it, is a doctrine of rebellion against a society that tells us to hold on to everything, especially resentment, rage, revenge, the three R's, stuff, junk, and belongings. We are conditioned, according to this theory, to hoard out of fear. We fear forgetting or not having enough or being in a state of needing something that we might have gotten rid of years ago. In this age of selfishness and monochromatic ministries, look-alike galleries, this is a reminder for our call to let go and rediscover true passion and meaning. Today, we organize our church life for another year as we prepare for another year of spiritual ministry, cultivation, and gallery openings. So I would like for us to name 2019 the year of KonMari Christianity. As the body of Christ, we owe this to ourselves and as a community. Hold on to only what matters. Here are three insights. There are lots of insights. I'm going to leave you with three important insights I hope we can integrate into our Christianity this year from Marie Kondo and the KonMari Method as we organize ourselves as the body of Christ and perhaps in your own lives. Lesson one, don't live for yesterday or fear next year. She says we can only transform our lives if we sincerely want to. Small changes transform our living. There are two reasons we can't let go: an attachment to the past or a fear of the future. Friends, as we assemble as a congregation in 2019, how do we hope to transform Plymouth, Fort Collins, and the world? In your own lives, friends, what are you holding on to that is an attachment to the past but doesn't give you life right now? There are three approaches we can take, according to the KonMari Method, towards our possessions. We can face them now, we can face them later, or we can avoid them until the day we die. The choice is ours. If we acknowledge our attachment to the past and our fears for the future by honestly looking at our possessions, both physical and emotional, we will be able to see what is really important to us. If you're going to put your house in order, do it now. The first lesson on community curation is face stuff directly and don't hang on to systems because of unhealthy attachment to the past or a fear for the future. To be the best church we can in 2019, we need to live fully for the ministry of 2019. Lesson two, and this one's really nuanced and kind of has been getting to me. Cherish who you are now. Think about the word to cherish in English. How many of us only use the word cherish to refer to memories, keepsakes, or things we no longer have? Do you cherish who you are now with that same fervor? Do we as a congregation cherish, adore, and celebrate the amazing, generous congregation who you are on this very day? As your associate curator, I cherish who you are now, both outside the window and inside the window. Marie Kondo brings up this topic in terms of those boxes of pictures in your closet or photo albums that you have and you cherish but you haven't opened in a decade. She observes that the most important joy of pictures is the moment when you take the picture, not the storing of the pictures. The joy happens in the moment when you take the picture. This gets at a bigger and deeper spiritual point. Cherish the things you love. Cherish yourself. Find out what you truly cherish in life. Cherish who you are and what you're becoming and what brings you joy and fulfillment. As congregation, let us learn to cherish all of the body parts of Christ and celebrate them in the now. And now for the third and most important lesson, the kind of the pop culture line, I'm using it as my sermon title, spark joy. If I could pick a motto for 2019, it would be this: learn how to spark joy. By far the most popular and important contribution of Marie Kondo, and I think no matter if you have Netflix or not, or like keeping lots of stuff or not, we need to all become KonMari Christians, is this idea of spark joy. In a time of darkness and fear, KonMari has brought millions of people two important, very simple but hard theological questions. What is joy? Right? And what does joy mean to you? Marie Kondo never, like I won't today, offers a definition for what joy is. But she demands that in order to do life well, we have to answer that question for ourselves. I hope this is your journaling topic for the next week. What is joy, and what does joy mean to you? Then she asks, what sparks joy in your life? It's not light on fire. A spark is a spontaneous fire that burns from within. You are Holy Spirit artists, creating and recreating the body of Christ, but you need more creative freedom. Marie Kondo tells us, when you do this, you'll be surprised at how clearly you can tell the difference between those things that touch your heart and those that do not. As always, only keep the ones that inspire joy. Now, as a young curator of ministry in a very old and sometimes dusty art museum called the United Church of Christ, not Plymouth specifically, but get into the wider denomination, you find lots of closets. I'm almost daily asked in one form or another why young people aren't in the church, and to diagnose what is wrong with church in general in 2019. In some ways, this might be fitting as a curator. Curator has the same word at root as cure from Old French, someone who attends to someone needing healing. That's where the word comes from. I'm not exactly sure why my age gives me the credentials to this sort of wisdom, but I'll do my best. I've struggled to answer this question until now. The number one thing the church has forgotten, especially in the midst of so much anxiety and campaigns, is that our primary purpose is to help people remember how to find joy in living in the midst of so much sorrow, death, and depression. In community and in the dynamic, artistic, complex relationship between you and Jesus the Christ and the Holy Spirit. The Christian church, at its very best, should spark joy everywhere it is found. Renew joy, rebirth joy. Everywhere our touch points are found as congregation and people. The world, friends, and I think you can see this, needs an organizing expert. Our systems for categorizing, our ethics for doing collective laundry, our patterns for decision making are not working. Christianity and all of the big world religions need a revamp, a closet emptying. We need to ground ourselves again in the sparking, lit, burning joy of communities in a depressed world. In the words of Marie Kondo, if we acknowledge our attachment to our past and fears of the future by honestly looking at our possessions, both physical, emotional, spiritual, we will be able to see what is really important to us. This process, in turn, helps us identify our values and reduce doubt and confusion in making life decisions. If you can say without a doubt, I really like this, no matter what anyone else says, and if you like yourself for having or doing it, then ignore what other people say. And you need to do is get rid of anything that doesn't touch your heart. As for you, pour your time and passion into what brings you the most joy, your mission in life and as a body of Christ. It is one of the greatest honors to be an associate curator here in your art gallery of the Holy Spirit. It's an always rotating, exciting gallery with many medium, isn't it? Today, as we reorganize for another year of ministry, my prayer is that we truly remember our purpose to be a place where we all say, I really like this, no matter what anyone else says, and to spark joy in the hearts of our members, our visitors, and community. We pray also, as a part of our core identity, that we and our work always will spark joy in the heart of God the Creator and great curator of life. Spark joy, friends. Let's do this 2019 thing and get painting. Amen.